This is FNX.
Listen to Shoot the Defense. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Hello and welcome to Shoot the Defense on FNX, brought to you by StadiumScene.tv. If you're ever interested in finding information about stadiums within Major League Baseball, MLS, NFL, NBA, NHL, even NASCAR, StadiumScene.tv is the website for you. Now, this edition of Shoot the Defense, I spoke to Per Hansen, the assistant coach of the Norwegian national team. We spoke about Per's career path, we spoke about Rosenborg, one of the biggest clubs in Norway, and also the Norwegian national team and how they're going to fare against the Spanish. So without further ado, here's my interview with Per Hansen. Well, Per, thank you ever so much for agreeing to join me on Shoot the Defence. How are you at the moment, sir?
Very fine. We have just come back to our hotel after a good training session here in Spain, and we have some good lunch, and now we can relax a little bit before tonight's theory sessions with the players.
Very nice, very nice. And you've been coaching for almost 25 years, Per, and I believe you started at Strindheim back in 1995 as a player coach. What was that experience like for you?
I started as a playing coach there in Strindheim in 1995, because the club was struggling and they had sacked two coaches and the economy was very bad. So I think it was because of that they asked me to step in as playing coach the rest of the season. So it was in that period my coaching career was starting.
Mm. And I think there's about a 4-year gap before you moved to your next club. How did that move come about? Did they know you already?
I took some years after Strindheim. I was working 1 year or two, and then my first club it was in a lower division, because I want to start at the scratch as coach. So I didn't should go and begin in a bigger club. So I took a small club about 10 in the lower divisions,
right.
So I was starting there before I went to the top football.
Okay, and were you doing your coaching badges then, or did you have them already?
I have one badges, but when I took this, when I was playing coach in Varden, I took the top badges in coaching in Norway. It was in that time it was D course. It was called. No, it's a pro license. So I was taking the biggest, the top coach when I was playing coach in Varden in 1997, I think, 98.
Very nice, very nice. And then you moved to Denmark with Vard, I believe. Now, a lot of people in the UK, and forgive me for being a little bit ignorant, but a lot of people in the UK believe that the coaching and the football style in Scandinavia is very, very similar. Would you agree with that? Is there a few differences between Norway and Denmark and Sweden?
I was not in Denmark. I was in Sweden. So I went to Sweden and GIF Sundsvall.
Okay.
In Allsvenskan. But it's more or less the same, but some small culture difference is between Norway and Sweden, but it's not so much that it's a big problem, I think.
Right, because I understand that they're very, very keen on developing youngsters, and as we've seen over the years, especially during what we call the golden era of the France 98 Norwegian squad, where you had the likes of Solskjaer, your Flos, your Frode Grodas, so to speak. You know, a lot of these Scandinavian nations are very renowned for bringing through youngsters. Was Sweden very similar in that sense?
Yes, in that period, in the late 90s and the start beginning of the 2000s, it was, you know, the football has changed a lot since then. So if you see them, it especially Norwegian players went to England. We have, I think, about 30 players playing over there in the end of the 90s and the starts of the 2000s. And that was because it was not, football was not coming global then. So it was very, a little bit, maybe too easy to get a professional contract in England. So if you see in England, it was a lot of Norwegian players and also Swedish players.
Mm. Now tell me something about the mentality of Scandinavian footballers, because what I've noticed is that they're very, very competitive, but at the same time, they're also very patient. So does that reflect on what the coaches do? Do they motivate the youngsters to wait their turn? Because we've seen a lot of youngsters break through, but they don't really get their chances until they're, say, 20, 21.
That's a good question. I'm not sure if they're special mentally here in Scandinavia, but I think they get we have a good life here. So they learn, and we have good schools, we have good teachers, and we have a nice and good society. So I think they have and good values from home and from school. So I think they learn to take responsibility for themselves, and if you many of young players in Norway, they know it's better because of the coaching staff is have been much better now in Norway the last 10 years in the youth. But for about 15, 20 years ago, this was most parents who was coaching the players.
Oh, wow.
And then the players have also, they have to do most of the work themselves if they should break through. So I think they have their own motivation. So I think they have learned to take own responsibility to make new steps in their careers.
Absolutely. Now, I was lucky enough to speak to Mathias Wilhelmsen and Alex Gersbach, who both played for Rosenborg, a club that you know very, very well. Now, Rosenborg are one of the biggest, if not the biggest club in Norway, and you spent a lot of time there, really. You were an assistant manager, you were the manager. Were you even a scout there at some point? Is that true?
No, I've not been a scout there. I've been coaching there twice, and I've also been coached there. I have contract with Rosenborg, and I was head coach for a farmer team that develop young players. So I've been there for 7-8 years as coach and coach for Bjørsen and also player.
Mm. So what was the pressure like at the club? Because as I said, they're the biggest club in Norway, arguably, winning so many league titles, being in the Champions League a few times. Is there a big pressure to win the title every season there?
Yeah, you can see Rosenborg is a lot bigger from the rest of the Norwegian teams. And if you see the history from the 90s when they was in Champions League 9-10 times, everyone will see them lose, but they have this they are winning year after year. So it's a big pressure for the club and all the players and the staff to win. It's like similar to maybe Celtic in Scotland.
Right.
It's just only one game from crisis. If you lose in Rosenborg, it's crisis. So it's a big pressure to play there as player and coaches.
Mm. And what about, as I said before, with the youngsters breaking through? Because I know we've seen it on numerous occasions. A lot of these Norwegian clubs, Scandinavian clubs, even clubs in Holland and Belgium, they develop youngsters and they sell them on for big fees. Is there a level of expectancy for coaches to bring through youngsters to develop them, and then the clubs can sell them on to make that money? Because the TV money isn't great. The money from the Champions League isn't as much as, say, the big clubs would get. So is there that extra pressure to bring through that golden youngster that they can sell on for a big fee?
Yeah, I think so. You know, the TV money in Norway is nothing if you compare with the rest of Europe. So if the clubs in Norway should get money to develop new players and develop clubs, they have to be selling clubs. So it's a lot of focus on that now in Norway to bring players into the clubs earlier and before, and have better coaches and better environments, so you can develop players for to sell to bigger leagues. And so it is for Norwegian football. We are a small nation with very few people here, and the football economy is not even closed in the rest of the Europe. So we have to sell players.
Mm. Well, I looked at the recent under-21 squad, and I think only five of them play outside the Norwegian league. Does that tell you that the Norwegian league is getting stronger, or maybe the players aren't developing as quick as they would like?
I think this is going ups and downs in periods. Some periods you have a lot of players going out early, and then you have 2, 3, 4 years that you have fewer players out, and it's up and down, I think.
Mm, yeah, I can tell. It happens with a lot of nations. I mean, I know that the Dutch, they've only recently got over their old golden generation. Yeah. They're bringing through a lot of youngsters. And I had this discussion with numerous people in the past about Ajax's youth academy. But, you know, the current Norwegian national team is very strong at the moment. They did very well in the Europa Nations League. Obviously, there's the qualifier against Spain, which obviously you're out there at the moment. How confident are you to see Norway get through to the Euros? Because they haven't qualified since when? Was it 2000? Was it?
Yeah, 2000. And we have to do it soon. 20 years is a long time. And if you see our Scandinavia's friends there with Denmark, Iceland, Sweden, so on, they are going to World Cup and Euro. So it's on time that we are doing the same now, but we know it's not easy, because we think we make big steps when in Nation League now. We the last year, we 10 games, we win 8, 1 draw and lost 1. So we have to develop, but we know we are in a group with Spain, with big favorites, Sweden, a quarter final in World Cup in Russia. Romania, I think, is 25 now on the FIFA ranking, and then we 48. So we are still an underdog. So we have to we are an underdog, and we have to defend well, and we have to work hard, and we have to have some luck to come through. We know that.
Mm, absolutely. And if you look at the current squad at the moment, you look at the likes of, say, Martin Odegaard, who was known as the next big player. How do you think he's coped with the pressure? Because obviously Real Madrid came in for him. He's at Vitesse at the moment. Is he handling it well?
Yes, I think so. Martin have impressed me a lot, because he have lived under this pressure now in 4 or 5 years. And the media especially is... make a big pressure on him. But I think he is calm, and he's smart, and he know what he can, and he know what he had to improve. And you see now he have developed with small steps now, first in Herenfen, and now he go to a little bit better club in Vitesse with better players. And then you see he have scored a lot of goals now and assist, and because of VAR, the video, he have also be taken 2 goals from him. So he is developed in the right direction, I think. And I'm making good steps the last 7-8 months.
Mm, that's right. And when you look at the attacking options, you got El Yunusi, Joshua King, who we know very well from the Premier League, Soloth and Ola Kamara, all very good strikers. But do you think there's more to come from the midfield? Because when you look at the likes of, say, Marcus Henriksen and El Yunusi and Dali, they haven't really scored that many goals at international level.
No, and we have a little bit problems in Nation League also. We have to we need to be more effective in front of the goals, but we have a lot of chances that we miss. So and the strikers have also missed a lot of them. So we have to be more effective, because if you're not effective, you don't reach World Cup or Euro.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Per, you know, it's a big game against Spain. They're a nation kind of in transition at the moment. They had that great era when they won the World Cup and the two back-to-back European Championships. They're still a dangerous team, though. So how do you think you guys will approach this game?
Spain is big favorite, and of course they have all the pressure in that game. And you see, also Spain is not as good as they was as 5, 6, 7 years ago. They are rebuilding a little bit, a new team, and of course they have we have all to win in the game in Valencia, and Spain have everything to lose, so we can go to Valencia with a belief in ourselves and try to defend very well and have confidence in our own playing style and our own concept, and Spain will have all the pressure, so we will not relax, because if we relax they will beat us a lot, but we have to be confidence and believe in ourselves.
That's right. And then there's a small matter of Sweden, which I believe is on Tuesday. They're defensively very strong, as we saw at the World Cup and in the qualifiers. I'm pretty sure you guys would be confident going into this game, because it's what's known as a derby, I guess.
Against Sweden, yeah. That's been a big derby, yes. That's Sweden and Norway. Sweden is looking at us as a little brother, and on the Norwegian have also seen the Swedes as big brothers. So it's a be a game, a battle of big brothers and small brothers. So we're looking very, very forward to meet Sweden.
Fantastic. Well, Per, look, thank you ever so much for your time. I know you've been really busy. You've had a very, very long day. You deserve to put your feet up and have a bit of a rest.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your time. I wish you guys all the best of luck and hope to have you back on the show sometime.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. All the best, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye.